This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously. And now he was blushing and shy? What kind of game was he playing at?
SpongeBob, I want to suck your sponge cock.
Watashi wa Squidward des.
SpongeBob, would you like to join me and my DM for a game of Pathfinder?
Hey, man, Pathfinder's fun.
SpongeBob, you want to try a game of Lucky Hit?
Wow.
SpongeBob, do you know where I can find some sailors?
I'm looking for some Chinese people, SpongeBob.
God damn it!
Beautiful.
Steve-O, do you know where I can find some Chinese people?
I'm drinking for that, but only after my read is over. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction, Season 11, Super Hilarious, Mega Funny, Intro Bumper, or whatever. Boring and at home. One moment. I thought boring and at home was last year with people learning to make fucking bread.
No, they graduated to hoarding.
Great. Marie Kondo had no lasting impact.
Right.
Well, that fucking sucks. Anyways, we're live a few minutes early, but we don't have to get the show started just yet. So what kind of pizza did you get, by the way?
I got California Bacon Ranch.
What's the California part? Like a California roll?
Chicken and tomato.
Oh.
What about chicken and tomato screams California?
I don't know.
Put little mini disc versions of the theme song to the OC on that. I will call that a California pizza.
California.
California. Yeah, that movies and smog. There's your fucking California pizza.
A warm sense of self-satisfaction.
It's funny. My sister is moving out to California, and her rent is probably more than anyone's mortgage in this entire state, except for like millionaires. 3.6 per month.
Wow!
Million with an M? An Earth M?
No, that's K per month for rent on an apartment.
3.6 bags of ketamine per month.
Oh, I thought you were going to say kale.
Oh, dude, we don't measure ketamines in Ks.
No, you measure potassium in Ks.
No, we usually measure that in moles.
Like Morocco?
No, like, you remember chemistry class when they told you that long string of numbers and said that's what a mole is?
Nope. No, I remember Morocco mole telling me that Secret Squirrel showed his ding-a-ling.
I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
No, I got what Steve-O was saying.
Yeah, I get what Steve-O says.
I do vaguely remember my high school chemistry teacher was an extremely religious Jew wearing very modest clothing, but always had the biggest granny panty outlines I had ever seen.
Mm. I just remember that my high school biology teacher got fired for masturbating too many times and getting caught.
Too many times.
Too many.
Yeah, okay. He got caught doing it twice, and he only got fired the second time.
Wow.
You would think that one is too many times.
Whack it once, shame on you. Whack it twice, shame on me.
I guess.
Here you go, Logs. A $5,000 a month rental property near where I live.
Is it that whole ass building, and it's got beach access?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what... No, wait, no, this is a 1,100 square foot with one bedroom, one bath. That sucks, bro.
Wow. Okay, the stay right on the beach and the MS painted fucking arrow is what's killing me.
That second one is $10,000 a month.
Dear God.
And it's not even on the beach.
Yeah, well, at least it has more than one bathroom.
True, true.
And it comes in a nice shade of lightish red.
Mmm.
It's pink.
It's lightish red.
They could say that it's a really nice, like, plant inhabited outside, but it just looks like the owner got really lazy with pruning the shrubs.
I mean, I will admit that pool does look pretty cool.
Well, okay, I can see why they're charging so much. They somehow
accidentally beached a fucking canoe on top of the media unit in this house.
Anyway, that looks to be the most expensive place that I can see for rent here. Mm. Oh, no, wait. I found one that's just slightly more. Look at that yard. That backyard is huge.
Let me see.
It's not huge at all. It's fucking terrible.
Like, what amenities make this place fucking cost so much?
It's on Lido Key.
I'm also upset that the photographer kept the flash on for every fucking camera shot.
It's been listed for 242 days. Yeah, and it's going to continue to be listed when it's that expensive.
Oh, we got one.
You got one?
$26,000 a month.
Dear God.
1300 Benjamin Franklin Drive.
And it's a unit, so it's not even the whole damn thing.
No, it's like a fucking complex of sorts.
Wait, do you get like six canoes with that?
No.
Those are kayaks.
Oh.
Those kayaks do not come with the property. They're just showing you where water is.
Oh, good. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to find it.
Well, that sucks.
Why do they have a fucking tomb-style bath? That looks like the place where Daniel gets healed in Stargate. Is that a hot tub or a big toilet with a rail?
That's a big hot tub toilet.
Hot toilet.
I'm currently having difficulties finding water as my sink has been ripped out of the wall.
Why'd you do that?
By who?
The super of my apartment complex.
$35,000 a month.
Wait a minute. I'm curious. I know we're 4 minutes late, even though we started 3 minutes early. I'm curious. Why did the super rip your damn sink out?
Oh, because that's the only way they could get to the hot water heater that exploded.
Oops.
Should have had Sean go get it.
Yeah, I could have found that shit.
No, it's literally like in a negative space between like the sink cabinet and the cabinet next to it. So they literally had to rip it out.
Why?
I'll have a sink back tomorrow.
Oh, so they didn't like take it for good.
No.
Did they take it for granted?
This is Friday. Okay, that's a good segue. Is this Friday night fan fiction? Talking about real estate. I'm your host, Steve-O. Joining me tonight are David, Logan, Valerie, and Sean. We got the whole crew and apparently are looking for the most expensive place that you could buy near David.
No, rent.
No, rent.
These are rental. These are rental properties.
Rent near David in case you wanted to spend obscene amounts of money to live near Bradenton.
Yeah, I wouldn't, honestly, but the tax assessed value of this house is $3.1 million. And honestly, it's quite nice looking. I just don't have anywhere near that kind of rent money.
I don't think any of us do.
Is that a pool that waterfalls into a dock or?
Are you still talking about that Stargate bathtub?
No.
That's one of those pools that have like a load fence or whatever. Like it's an invisible line fence.
What is a load fence?
Oh, I see. Double edge infinity pool with spa. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Although now that you mention it, I am tempted to rent that place for a single month and set it up so anytime the bath is on, instead of flushing the toilet, the Stargate theme plays and you can't turn it off.
Well, you never even set that up in your own toilet, so no, you're not.
No, I did. I did set it up for like 3 months, and then somebody like shoved their toe against the bath because it startled them, and I disconnected it. My toilet needed to come with a warning, and it was easier to de-set up the sound than set up a good warning.
You never set up the sound because I never got to hear it.
I haven't!
I never got to hear it. You lost that bet.
No, I didn't. We're not going back to season 9.
There was a time set on that bet and you didn't do it.
What time?
I don't remember.
Time hasn't existed for the last like 4 years.
Yeah, but this was before that.
Also, you didn't set up Chevron's locking on there, so it didn't count.
Yeah, you also didn't do the Chevron's locking.
All right, let me find if there's a fucking Chevron locking toilet. Anyways, it's Friday night fan fiction. Tonight, we've been teasing it long enough.
$60,000 a month.
God damn
it. God.
We've been teasing it long enough. We're finally going to read some SpongeBob smut. But before that, I have a very sincere apology to make.
Oh?
To you, listening to this, I've tried to be a good person, but I've made mistakes, and this was a very, very big mistake. I honestly regret even saying it in the first place, but Dave, you were right about the Scotch bonnet mustard.
You goddamn right I was.
There is a good mustard in existence. I wasn't wrong about the Ouya.
Yes, you are.
I wasn't wrong about anything else.
I mean, you were, though.
You're definitely wrong about Star Wars.
I wasn't wrong about the Stromboli and Calzone
argument. Yes, you were. Yes, absolutely, you were the most fucking wrong.
I picked the correct side as to whether or not you fall or get sucked into a black hole.
You didn't have a stance on that.
Yeah, you remained Switzerland on that one, pal.
Yeah.
There's several good kinds of mustard.
No, there is only one, and it's the Scotch Bonnet. $125,000 a month!
For a two-bed, one-bath, 800-square-foot apartment.
What is this tiny fucking bullshit?
It looks like a fish house.
This is mislisted. This is supposed to say $125,000 to buy. It's not a rental.
Well, it's listed as a rental, buddy.
It cannot be.
It's been listed for 2 days.
Yeah, that's their mistake.
Hey, you know what? Their mistake is our laughs.
Can somebody call the property owner listed under the Zillow and say, hey, you have it listed as rented for $125,000?
No, this is definitely a rental because they say pets aren't allowed.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
You can buy this house, but you better not put a pet there.
It is rent controlled.
But here, you know, this has to be a mistake. A year ago, the listing was removed after a month of not renting for $1,200.
Yeah, someone had an extra zero.
A 10,000 plus percent increase.
Here's one in Miami Beach for $100,000.
Can we get to the reading now, or?
No, this is much more fun.
No, we're just going to be looking at rental properties. That's the new show.
No, I want to keep looking at stupid opulent houses that have pool basketball hoops.
Oh my fucking God.
Can we start looking at nice houses to buy in like the Reisterstown area?
Sure.
I can look for that for you eventually. And by eventually, I mean whenever Xavier starts pre-K. Also, I like what Sam says.
I want granite countertops, stainless steel appliances. All because of Verbank!
All because of Verbank?
That does sound like shit that Teen Girl Squad would say. Alright, we're reading about SpongeBob SquarePants. Let's go. First up is David.
Okay, great.
This is Oh Yeah, Mr. Krabs.
You have to say it correctly.
Oh Yeah, Mr. Krabs!
Ah! Ouch.
See, Logan is both a man of culture and a man of bad filth, man.
I've seen 2 episodes of SpongeBob in my life.
Oh yeah, Mr. Krabs. Oh yeah, oh yeah, Mr. Krabs. Oh yeah, Mr. Krabs. Oh yeah, oh yeah, Mr. Krabs.
Page 2. It was a cold December evening. Snow flurries drifted through the Bikini Bottom, not capitalized, swirling between the buildings and the ocean's undercurrents.
How?
What do you mean how?
Well, you know, there's that SpongeBob gag where there's water underwater and they use water to put out fire that's underwater.
Yeah.
It's the goo lagoon. It's oil.
It's a real thing.
Oil floats on water.
It's not oil. It's like a different, not material, but element that floats under the water.
Not material.
Certain kinds of crude oil do sink under the water.
You sink underwater.
All right, well, this was an interesting Google completes. I put in, does cocaine?
All right.
Number 1, does cocaine cause hair loss? Number 2, does cocaine affect your kidneys? Number 3, does cocaine come from cocoa?
No. Yes. I think? Oh, wait, cocoa? No. That's a no on that one.
No.
As in, like, hot chocolate. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm reading about how Mark Zuckerberg is the most powerful non-state actor in the world.
God damn it. Give me some of your antidepressants if you're also going to bring me down.
Oh, no problem. Come over to my house. I have trazodone.
Trazodone? Hey, I got trazodone.
Trapezoid.
You've already got your own.
I'm off the Prozac because it was causing my knuckles to peel.
How is it causing your knuckles to peel?
I have weird reactions.
He didn't ask himself why the snow sank to the bottom of the ocean. Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, author. I appreciate you coming down to that for the third sentence. And covered the sand instead of melting either. He didn't even think to wonder why such tropical ocean creatures weren't even are the least bit affected by this drastic climate change, despite the large amount of inhabitants in Bikini Bottom who are biologically very sensitive to things.
What? Logan, would you like to tell the rest of the class?
I like that the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission put out a tweet that says, do not fill plastic bags with gasoline.
Yeah.
Oh.
We were talking about this. Said that this is a low point of humanity now.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta use paper for that shit.
The other things you should not fill with gasoline. Wigs. Your children.
Wait, wigs?
Pick a random object. You should probably not fill it with gasoline.
Your asshole.
Yeah, but have people actually been filling wigs and their children with gasoline?
I'm trying not to get depressed. It's not helping.
Steve-O, I got trazodone.
Yeah, just have some trapezoid, man.
All right, I'm going to go grab the trazodone. Please continue.
Instead, Squidward just went back to sitting back in his cash register boat, half reading some article in Fancy Living and trying not to let his eyes glaze over. The Krusty Krab was already closed. Mr. Krabs had already gone home, and he was just sitting there waiting until SpongeBob finished up. He was technically supposed to help SpongeBob, but he didn't really care. The yellow sponge liked doing any and all work for the Krusty Krab anyway. Suddenly, SpongeBob burst through the door, leading to the back, singing
God
and laughing.
Damn it, Fizz! No, no, you can fill your car with gas as long as you roll the windows down.
That's right.
Gotta be well ventilated.
Yeah, you don't want to catch a high off of that gas you're swimming in.
Gas is not a fun high either.
No.
Oh, I wouldn't know, Paul.
I thought I was Paul.
Do you do a lot of gas drinking up there?
It's the only way they can keep warm.
Gas sniffing.
Yeah, no, gas sniffing was a big thing.
Yeah, no, I heard ass sniffing.
Well, that too. But I used to work at a gas station, and people would roll up to the gas station and be like, fill her up. Only for me to find out after I filled it up, it was supposed to be diesel. So we had to drain the gas out of there, and the only way we can do it was with a fucking garden hose.
Oh, you mean the manual siphon?
Yeah.
No. It's called the credit card.
and a mint for afterwards.
Right. Suddenly, SpongeBob burst through one of the doors leading to the back, singing and laughing loudly while skating around the floor and mopping in a ridiculous fashion. Squidward had half a mind to yell at SpongeBob to be quiet or make some kind of snarky comment, but he didn't have the energy. Usually insulting SpongeBob brought him joy, but these days Squidward was just too depressed.
He needs to have more trap in his life.
Yeah, he needs more trapezoid. Ask your doctor if trapezoid is right for you. With the holidays coming up, seeing everyone so happy, together... Oh, that's weird spacing.
Mm-hmm.
Together just made him feel miserable as he came home to an empty dark house at the end of each workday. Looking around Bikini Bottom every day, everyone always seemed to be smiling with friends, family, or some sort of partner. A partner, Squidward thought to himself. Squidward hadn't been intimate with someone in years.
However, his instrument, that's a different story.
What happens between you and the clarinet is your business.
Someone's got to finger those holes.
Ever since high school, he knew he was gay. That never really was a problem before. Bikini Bottom and everywhere else he lived was pretty open and accepting, but in recent years, he just hadn't met anyone. These days, if he saw any action at all, it would just be him and his tentacles. Squidward pushed those thoughts out of his head. He could dwell on his depressing life when he got home.
And he got his trapezoid.
Yeah, when he got his next dose of trapezoid. He glanced at his watch, and it, the small clock, read 8:37 p.m. Squidward just grunted and moved to get up. He technically wasn't supposed to leave until 9, but he didn't care. It's not like Krabs was here anywhere to yell at him or threaten to take it out of his paycheck. As Squidward started moving and began to get out of his cash register boat, SpongeBob took notice.
Hey, Squidward, where are you going?
SpongeBob asked with a concerned voice.
Getting myself out of this godforsaken place so I can go back to my miserably desolate home.
Squidward retorted as he began walking towards the door.
But Squidward, according to Section 7, Bullet Point 2A regarding employee behavior and disciplinary actions of the Krusty Krab, contract we signed prior to hire, under no circumstances are employees allowed to leave the property before closing time.
SpongeBob sighed aloud before promptly shoving a copy of the contract in Squidward's face.
Squidward?
Yeah, Squidward. He's a member of the Sex Pistols now. Squidward's face as he seemingly got out of nowhere.
My turn. Squidward growled in anger before slapping the papers out of SpongeBob's hand and away from him.
Growl.
SpongeBob, I don't care what it says. It's not like Mr. Krabs is here anyway.
He's off playing golf with Santa Claus.
It's on the green.
Oh, yeah.
Squidward turned around angrily and began putting on his scarf. Squidward said, exhaling grumpily out of his phallic-shaped nose. Good, somebody called it out. Squidward began storming towards the entrance. Just as he had touched the glass doorway with his right tentacle, SpongeBob spoke up again. Right, Logan.
Yes?
Can you coach me on how to sound like SpongeBob?
That's all you need.
I can't do it. Shit.
Be more nasal.
It's pretty good.
That's not wrong. You're pretty good.
But Squidward, you shouldn't have to go home and be alone.
As much as Squidward hated to admit it, that sentence was like a knife through his heart.
I have a pass on my face.
Owie.
God damn it. I sent that awful thing that I sent you earlier as my fucking text tone, Dave.
Oh, very good.
I'll put the sound in here, but this is the sound of J. Jonah Jameson running away afraid from the 1999 Spider-Man video game. Ah! There you go. Use it as your text tone. Scare people. Wake up your child. Something about a knife through his heart. Squidward was sad for a moment, then the trapezoid kicked in. But that emotion was quickly replaced with anger, and he began fuming. Squidward snapped his head around to look at SpongeBob. SpongeBob, I would rather ride my bike off that cliff again, while on fire, while listening to Squiddy Azalea, than stay here with you! Squidward yelled angrily, panting a little bit from working himself up. Squidward spun around once more, turning his attention to the door, when he felt a yellow hand grab him from behind, near the bottom of his stomach.
I can make it worth your while, Squidward,
said SpongeBob in a low voice. I guess that's the lowest register he can go. Squidward stood up straight quickly, surprised from SpongeBob's sudden touch. He began to slowly turn around as he wasn't sure what was going on when suddenly SpongeBob pulled on his scarf and yanked him down into a kiss. It was a little awkward at first between Squidward's surprise. I need a Squidward surprise. At the action and the awkward size and shapes of both of their noses, but they soon both relaxed into it. After a moment or two, they both broke away for air. Squidward stood up once more, relieving his back of tension from the awkward position he had to stand in to kiss SpongeBob. SpongeBob, Squidward said, voice trailing off. So, SpongeBob. Unsure of what to say, he was still astonished by the kiss. He hated to admit it, but he kind of liked it. SpongeBob twiddled his fingers, blushing and averting his eyes.
I've wanted to do that for a long time, Squidward, he said.
Squidward was even more perplexed now.
Wow.
A minute ago, he had grabbed him like some sort of sex-crazed sponge.
My God.
Now he was blushing and shy? What kind of game was he playing at?
SpongeBob, I want to suck your sponge cock.
Watashi wa Squidward des.
SpongeBob, would you like to join me and my DM for a game of Pathfinder?
Hey, man, Pathfinder's fun.
SpongeBob, you want to try a game of Lucky Hit?
Well,
SpongeBob, do you know where I can find some sailors?
I'm looking for some Chinese people, SpongeBob.
God damn it!
Beautiful.
Steve-O, do you know where I can find some Chinese people?
I'm drinking for that, but only after my read is over. There were so many thoughts going through his head at the time that he just stared back at SpongeBob, dumbfounded, with his mouth open a little. I need everybody to do it.
Now, can you remix all of those into the THX noise?
Yeah, the lowest effort THX that anybody can possibly do that turns into the grudge.
Right.
SpongeBob. SpongeBob started again staring at the floor.
Squidward, I don't know how you really feel about me, but I know that sometimes you just think I'm some barnacle brain nincompoop, but...
SpongeBob looked up at Squidward, eyes blazing with determination.
I think you like that kiss, and I would really like it if you stayed in with me tonight.
How does the vibrato-ish thing work? Is it like a dolphin, or...
Kind of.
You're gonna need to put your hands on my throat and show me in person the next time we get together, Logan.
Yeah, let me just shove my hands down your throat and manipulate your vocal cords manually.
That's exactly right. That's how all the pro voice actors do it, man.
Mm-hmm.
This was a lot for Squidward to process. Again, with the... He never thought that all this time SpongeBob might have feelings for him. Sure, he realized years ago that SpongeBob was gay. There would be days where SpongeBob would spend the whole day frolicking around throwing flowers into the air while he practically had rainbows shooting out of the holes in his body. There was no way he wasn't gay. That's a bit presumptuous.
Meh.
I mean, pretty gay.
Well, no, you can be flamboyant without being gay.
Oh, no, SpongeBob's pretty gay.
Okay, him being gay and him being flamboyant are two separate things, though.
Yeah, but he's both of them.
I mean, did he get his boating license? Because Lil Nas S is the first gay person to get their driver's license.
Son of a bitch!
Yeah, that's very important.
But after all these years, finally, somebody gay got their boating license. They've worked together and lived next door to one another. He had been pushing SpongeBob away. Whether it was through insults, threats, once in a while resorting to physical violence, for the most part, he had showed SpongeBob nothing more than his hatred for him, Sean.
But SpongeBob still cared for him, something he didn't get a lot from the others these days. Before Squidward even knew what he was saying, the words tumbled out of his mouth.
Hold up! The specific comment, Steve-O can only do the SpongeBob laugh if you sound him with a whammy bar. You are on very thin ice, sir.
Can we promote him to host now?
Yeah, I mean, we can always just test his theory, and if he's wrong, we'll ban him.
I said hands on my throat, not whammy bar in my dick.
Same thing, really?
Yes, a throat and a dick is just a whole...
And what Google Translate does hand on throat mean whammy bar dick? Don't look it up, I'm sure...
You don't even have to do it that many times.
Shit.
All right, SpongeBob. And with that, SpongeBob grabs Squidward tentacle... and led him near the back of the restaurant. Together, they climbed back into Squidward cash register boat. Were they really gonna do it here? Squidward thought. Squidward sat in his boat every day for work, almost 8 hours a day.
Maybe they could find a place to rent per month. Maybe for $60,000? $125,000? Did we get any higher than that?
The highest I saw was $125,000.
How much would it cost for us to rent out a compound?
Would be better to buy. Or is there such a thing as rent-to-own compound?
If it doesn't exist, we should get in on that business.
The business of paying people?
Doing it here was kind of dirty, albeit exciting. Besides that, the Krusty Krab may be closed, but the lights were still on. The walls were mostly windows, and it was only a little before 9. Anyone could walk by and peer in and see what they're doing. Squidward sat back on the bench in his cash register boat, leaving a little room for SpongeBob to sit next to him. But SpongeBob didn't sit next to him. Instead, he crawled into Squidward's lap.
Oh, I thought it was going to crawl somewhere else.
Yeah.
They started kissing again. It started slow and soft at first, but as the hunger... Oh, the hunger.
It never ends.
It's never ending.
For one another grew, among other things... They began to kiss with more of a need and passion. Squidward slowly removed the scarf around his neck, tossing it somewhere in the Krusty Krab.
What?
Airbnb, bomb shelter apartment. 3 bedrooms, 7 bed, 2 bath, $128 a night.
They're cheap.
Our spacious apartment is modern conversion of the old Soviet bomb shelter. You know what? This looks legit.
It's in Lithuania?
Yeah, we need to go to fucking Lithuania. Jacuzzi and sauna, €20 the first day, €10 each additional day. Foosball is a euro coin. Oh, get out of here. That's a ripoff. Children up to 4 years old stay for free.
All right, Logan, can you walk around on your knees for a full night?
I was going to say Xavier can come too, but that also worked.
I can, but I have to get paid for those kinds of gigs.
Well, that's fair.
All right, well, we'll start a Patreon to supplement the other Patreon.
As their tongues battled for dominance, SpongeBob began taking off his tie. At first, Squidward figured that SpongeBob was just loosening it to get more comfortable. But as SpongeBob undid the knot and whipped it from his neck, he grabbed Squidward's wrists and tied them together behind his back.
Oh, kinky.
Yeah. Squidward had never been tied up before, but he decided he might as well let it happen. Tonight was a night for a lot of firsts. Besides, it was kind of hot, so he didn't protest and just muttered a,
"Holy barnacles.
Holy barnacle."
And let SpongeBob do his thing. After SpongeBob had properly secured the tie around Squidward's wrists, he went back to kissing Squidward with passion. His mouth had begun to leave his Squidward's lips.
Fuck you, Zillow. I'm trying to find a bunker to rent, not some place to rent in Bunker, Missouri.
More like misery, am I right, kids?
There's literally nothing there. There's nothing. Here's the link to it. Look at
Yeah, it's Missouri.
Oh, well, that's also true. But look at the lines for this. It's all green with two roads. That's it.
And?
Do they even have a Walmart?
Oh, there's West Bunker.
Bury me in West Bunker. That's going to be my country hit.
It slowly began to trail down Squidward's neck, stopping occasionally to suck and bite the tender skin as he moved down his shoulders. The feeling was insatiable. Squidward swore that when he closed his eyes, he could see fireworks. He needed this. Neptune knew he needed this. But as much as he wanted to enjoy this to the full extent, he wasn't sure how far this could go. There were two different species, and while occasionally in the past he dabbled a bit outside of just the realm of cephalopods, a sponge was a different scenario.
All right, so this town has no Walmart, but they have a food distribution center and a Dollar General. Does it count?
Oh, that's sad. All it means is a food desert.
It's more than what I had in most of my towns.
What kind of towns were you in then, Sean?
Well, one of them had two grocery stores, and we owned one of them. There was a gas station that was had a restaurant and was also the a video rental store.
Oh, that kind of place.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, Dave, I know you said you grew up in the South. You never stayed in towns that small, right?
Where my grandma lives is a very small town, and it wasn't as big as it was when you were there.
It was even smaller?
It was far smaller. Like, my grandparents, the road that they were on had like four people on it, and the closest thing they had was a very tiny version of the church that's right across the exit of that road. And then there was no, like, subdivisions. There was no, like, land built up. Nobody had houses out there.
They all lived in huts.
And then you would go into Crandall proper. You would see the donut shop. You would see the post office. And you would see the very small off-brand grocery store that I guess doesn't exist there anymore. And then there was the school. That was it.
Not even a Stuckey's.
There were literally no chain restaurants. You had to go to Seagoville for that.
How far away is Seagoville?
Well, you've been to Seagoville.
I know. I don't remember, though.
It was about 15 minutes down the road off of 175.
At least in Val's small fucking town, you could walk to restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't happening in Crandall.
Yeah. We didn't even have a Chicken Delight, and that's a staple in every small town in the areas I grew up.
Oh, man, if we had a McDonald's, and if you had a McDonald's, you were a real town, not just a village.
Oh, that's such a depressing metric.
It's a real low bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we were still waiting to get pavement in the rest of the town.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Grandma's road wasn't paved for like the first 10 years of my life, and wow. She says it wasn't paved until like 2000.
Holy crap. Oh,
Steve-O, you have to remember like places like, you know, Ty?
Yeah, Ty Gunley. Yeah, I do remember. Yeah. See, he literally lived on fucking like an airline landing strip.
He had 56K
until like 2015.
Yeah.
All right, back to the SpongeBob sex. What the hell?
Where was I?
Good question.
Where am I?
Hopefully not in that town that didn't have a restaurant.
As he stretched back far into his memory, trying to remember his own high school sex ed class. Wow, they had sex ed class in high school? Ours was just be celibate.
You didn't have a high school sex ed class?
We barely had a high school.
Quick question, did you guys have elementary sex ed?
No.
No.
In fifth grade.
Yeah, fifth grade.
Yeah.
That's when it should happen, probably.
But that was Dodds, so the Department of Defense schools, your education isn't very in-depth.
We had it in middle school and high school, but it was a Jewish sex ed, so it was a little weird.
They showed you the weird sheet.
No, despite you talk, there was no fucking sheet. And I mean that literally.
No sheet fucking?
No sheet fucking. Nope.
You missed out.
Did you guys break out the good sheet on your anniversary?
No, but I will say during sex ed, somebody did admit that they masturbated once to the Bible.
That's sad.
What is there to masturbate to?
I mean, there's erotic fan fiction. I'm sure somebody could think erotic thoughts about anything that's a written word. Shlomo, why are the pages of our Talmud stuck together?
When I turned 12, my mom bought me a book about puberty. It was about, like, growing up, like, puberty and whatnot. So it talked about both men and women, and it was one of my birthday gifts.
All right, so like, looking up books on puberty, The Boy's Guide to Growing Up, it's perfectly normal.
It wasn't French. You're not going to find it.
I was trying to look in French, but unfortunately, Google stuck me with it. You've got a really nice-looking thing for The Boy's Guide to Growing Up. You got this cartoon-looking kid, it looks all approachable to children, and then you've got this TED Talk-looking book about female puberty, a comprehensive guide for clinicians.
Ooh.
Hooray.
It looks like the person who did the illustrations for Dr. Seuss did The Boy's Guide to Growing Up.
I do like the title of this one. What's happening to me?
Yeah?
We can continue now.
Sex ed class, he recalled, sponges are capable of both reproducing asexually and sexually. He knew that SpongeBob didn't exactly have a penis. Oh, well, I beg to differ if you've seen the Wood Rocket.
Penis.
But did have the ability to come.
Huh?
Squidward.
Yeah, I'm with Logan. Huh?
Uh-huh.
He can do natural harvest. That's good for him.
Oh, hell yeah.
Squidward felt guilty for not reciprocating anything, but he was just unsure how exactly to pleasure SpongeBob either. He started getting tired of just sitting there like some idiot rag doll. So he finally just decided to ask SpongeBob. SpongeBob, how do I... Squidward stopped mid-sentence, unsure of how to phrase it. SpongeBob stopped sucking on Squidward and looked patiently up at him. Squidward tried again. How do I... you know.
How do you fuck?
You know.
Squidward said, trying not to get too embarrassed.
SpongeBob, what's happening to me?
You're becoming aroused, Squidward.
Oh, no.
Rub my holes.
Says SpongeBob
Sean,
bluntly.
I beg your pardon?
What?
Don't proposition other hosts on the show. Wait at least until we're off the air.
Nah.
Or, you know, we're in the same country at some point.
Next up is Logan. Logan?
Logan.
Oh, he literally, just as I called him, says, oh. Be right back. Gotta go. Val, you're up.
I guess. Rub. Well. Rub my holes. Okay. Squidward said a little puzzled. How do you expect me to do that? I'm a little tied up here. He said, jutting his head in an attempt to gesture to his tied up tentacles. Use your legs. There are tentacles too, just like your arms.
Wow. Oh, that's one of those like high shower thoughts.
Wow.
Wow. SpongeBob said before he turned his attention back to Squidward's body. Squidward followed suit, lifting up one of his legs and began using to stroke SpongeBob's back and sides. Yep. In turn, SpongeBob lifted up Squidward's shirt, unable to take it off due to the restraints on his wrists. I mean, it's only his tie. SpongeBob began moving his mouth down Squidward's chest, leaving little kisses everywhere. Meanwhile, Squidward began moving his tentacles in and out of SpongeBob's holes, causing SpongeBob to elicit a string of low moan.
My hole! I really don't want to think about what a SpongeBob Ona hole would look like.
Oh, well.
Every time you thrust, it goes, ah.
No, that's even worse.
SpongeBob pocket pussy.
No, come on. I'll only buy it if it is endorsed by Tom Kenny.
Endorsed?
Endorsed.
I suddenly turned into Groucho Marx for a hot second.
Here we go. SpongeBob sex toys on Alibaba.com.
What? No, I ain't buying shit from Alibaba. That is definitely not legit and will probably be a carcinogen.
None of these look like SpongeBob sex toys at all.
Boo.
I got a SpongeBong.
SpongeBong.
Yep.
Val, please continue reading.
To which Squidward answered by moving a little faster. He began snaking his tentacles between the holes in the Porifera's body, having them enter one hole and come out another. Oh, that's weird. Teenagers think sex works like, or a hentai.
The first result is SpongeBob Willy Warmer.
Aw.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Okay, I'm glad it's not pipe cleaners that are used to tie the sack to the shaft holder. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, go back. Let's forget this exists.
First of all.
Yes?
Lynx?
Do people actually buy Willy Warmers?
$38.34 plus shipping.
All right.
Selling fast, only two left.
Wow.
I guess they do if they're into humiliation or something.
Cock sock sponge.
There's somebody bought this in March 15th, 2019. Nicely made, will buy more.
Hmm.
There's a Willy Warmer that looks like a flamingo.
Oh, beautiful.
This store is just Willy Warmers.
Oh, good. I was worried that it might not be just that.
Also, somebody posted the picture of their dick in the review.
Brilliant.
Okay, this is going. Should it go not safe for work or not safe for life?
How about just don't post it?
Not safe for work.
It's not safe for life. I'm taking the easy way out.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
I still think it looks like the humiliation fetish kind of stuff.
Maybe he just has a cold knob.
Yeah, maybe.
You.
It's a great gift for husband, lover, boyfriend, son, dad, grandpa.
Do not get this for your son. Please don't get this for your son. Please don't get this for your son.
Never.
Xavier, what kind of Willy Warmer do you want for your bar mitzvah?
SpongeBob's!
I am calling CPS right now.
If you ever bring that up, I will punch you, Steve-O.
Notice she didn't say divorce. She only said punch.
Yeah, in the kidneys.
SpongeBob's cold knob.
You tried.
Yeah,
it was a good effort.
Points for effort.
Oh, it's been a long day. I'm tired.
Yeah, I totally understand. He moved his tentacles in and out, occasionally dragging his suction cups along the edges of the holes. He couldn't imagine what this felt like to the little sponge, but he decided that it must have felt particularly good because soon SpongeBob had a string of sin flowing out of his mouth. It was then SpongeBob moved to the ground, kneeling in front of Squidward. Is this it? SpongeBob asked, gesturing to one of Squidward's particularly swollen legs. He was talking about his... end quote, third arm, as the kids called it.
His tentacle.
Tentacle. Please don't make the venom noise.
Venom.
He was surprised SpongeBob knew about it. Not many who were not cephalopods themselves knew that an octopus penis was actually disguised as like.
Octopus?
Yes, it says octopus. SpongeBob started out with light feather-like touches at the base near the squid's hip, stroking his squid hood. Why is this capitalized?
It's been all left-handed typing.
But as he got farther away from his hips and closer to the head, SpongeBob began to get more aggressive, jerking his length, causing Squidward to moan loudly.
Can SpongeBob even get aggressive?
I guess, yeah.
Like, I'm asking legitimately for anybody who's seen the show, can SpongeBob get pissed off?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm constantly pissed off at my own fucking dick.
Yeah, you're Hulk.
We'll pick out what willy warmer you want later.
Okay.
He wants one that just has the words "The Hunger" crocheted on the shaft.
It's never ending. SpongeBob wrapped both of his hands around Squidward's hectocotylus, yes, and began to suck on the tip. Squidward couldn't get over the feeling of SpongeBob's hot mouth on his octocock. Thank you to make it easier to read.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he's had blowjobs before, but damn, SpongeBob seemed good at it, disturbingly good. Every time SpongeBob licked or sucked, it was like a wave of pleasure washing over Squidward. B was completely helpless to the slut of Sponge, who sat before
him. Slut Bob Squarepants.
That was a sentence. He just sat back, barely feeling the wood of the cash register bowed behind him. The tentacles that were tied up behind his back were starting to go numb from being in the same position for so long. There's the left-hand typing. But that didn't matter. He was too busy enjoying the moment. Head thrown back, eyes closed tightly, dick twitching in the sponge's mouth with the occasional shudder. And before we go further, please do not use a necktie or anything of that type to tie limbs.
Unless you're a professional, you could definitely cause a lack of circulation, and before you know it, you won't have a willy to warm anymore.
Yeah. At some point, he tried to open his eyes and look down at SpongeBob, but he was greeted with SpongeBob staring right back up at him, making direct eye contact. One look at those big blue eyes and those long lashes was dangerous.
SpongeBob.
Don't read. It's still my turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think I was reading. It's just
SpongeBob. What? SpongeBob, please. I can't take it anymore, Squidward begged. In response, SpongeBob removed his mouth from his octocock. It's so bad. Stood up and leaned over Squidward, resting his hands on Squidward's shoulder. His mouth hovered next to the side of his head, and SpongeBob whispered in a low voice,
"What do you want me to do to you, Squidward?"
he asked with a purr to his voice.
"Soak my cock."
"Well, SpongeBob, somebody once told me..."
Next up is you, Logan.
"The world is gonna roll me."
"Next up is me, you say?"
"Well, I called on you 30 seconds after you sent a message saying you had to step away."
"Yeah, I had to go bio."
"Please don't use that term. I go to tech talks at fucking IBM, and they say, like, all right, guys, let's take a 15-minute bio break. It just sounds so, ugh."
"I don't have time to say the whole word."
"Well, bio is nonspecific."
"Well, neither is bathroom either."
"No, but bio can mean, like, getting food."
"Bio can be any sort of biological need."
"I have to go to the bathroom and heal myself before I go back through the Stargate, Jackson."
"I'm on page 6, right?"
"Yes."
"Yep."
"Yeah."
"Oh, Neptune, is he trying to make me beg now?" Squidward thought to himself. "SpongeBob, please," Squidward whimpered.
"Please what, Squidward?"
"God, he's a sadist."
"You know, I do agree, God is a sadist."
"I mean, yes, I am."
"Ah...
Please, please, please ride me," yelled Squidward.
And that's all it took for SpongeBob to grab Squidward's swollen, yet erect octocock. As he grabbed with one hand, he shimmied out of his clothes, leaving the boxy articles of fabric on the floor. He reached down and went through his pockets and searched in them for a bit before pulled out a small bottle of lube and a condom.
"Who carries around bottles of lube and condoms and brings them to work, no less? He's more than a sadist, he's a sex freak."
"I feel called out."
"Do you take condoms to work?"
"Moving on."
No. You're not no. moving on from that
moving
one, dog.
"Moving on. Please finish your
No,
page.
No, I think we can address that one.
"Before I met Val, I used to keep that stuff just in my backpack, just in case."
"You never know when a rampant sex fight breaks out."
"Yeah, you definitely watched far too much porn."
"I mean, with the last administration, it practically was a daily occurrence, honestly, so..."
"Your porn addiction definitely accounts for this."
"Me?"
"Yes." You watched all those Naughty Office videos.
First of all, this is when I was still a virgin, okay?
Yeah, clearly.
I didn't know that sex parties just didn't happen.
Actually, they do happen. You're just not invited to them.
We just don't get invited.
I've read enough of F My Life that this stuff does occasionally happen at work. But all right, now you've gotten it out of me. Please continue.
And why lube?
Why not lube?
Again, being prepared.
Yeah, but you're not sticking things in your butt.
It was bottles, not packets, just to make sure I had enough.
You were a dumb version.
Shut the fuck up.
SpongeBob poured the cold gelatinous lube his fingers and slathered some on Squidward's member and rubbed some around the ring of the hole of his choice.
I guess he doesn't have to prepare himself much because he's a sponge.
It was then SpongeBob turned around and began to get into position. Squidward stopped him.
Wait, SpongeBob, I want to see your face.
Squidward would love a chance to look at those square little butt cheeks more. But for now, he would like to do things right. SpongeBob smiled and clicked his teeth in response as he positioned himself over Squidward's lap, legs set apart. He grabbed Squidward's squiddy staff.
The what?
From Octocock to squiddy staff.
Oh, okay.
Now it was time for the tricky part. Squidward had some pretty long legs, not exceptionally long for an octopus, but long enough that it made his third arm difficult to position when it came to other sea creatures that were not cephalopods. SpongeBob had to practically stand to get it in him. At first it was rough going, but once he got it to slide in between the lube.
All right, I did some digging, and unfortunately, nothing stands to the 120,000. There's just one bed, one bath, 300 square foot apartment for $30,000 a month.
What, in Reisterstown?
No, this is in College Park.
Oh.
Reisterstown, it capped out at like $4,000 a month. And like, I'm trying to look places. Oh, there's $110,000 a month. All right, but this is in New Jersey. So that's how far away you'd have to go to ridiculous rent.
This is just at the Marriott.
I know.
Wait.
Holy moly, how many washing machines are there in there?
Which one?
Well, the first one is at a place that has, like, there's a washing room at the suites.
Yeah.
Between the lube and his natural spongy body, it was easy. SpongeBob began to slam his body up and down the squid's octocock. They both had moans tumbling out of their mouths wildly from the unbelievable amount of pleasure they were both feeling. Squidward caressed SpongeBob's body with his available tentacles. What seemed like hours went by, but it was more like minutes. SpongeBob came first, cum oozing out of his pores, and it flooded the room practically. Squidward in awe, but as he soon climaxed as well, he watched his own cum practically ooze out of SpongeBob's pores. SpongeBob rolled off of him, and they were panting, trying to ride out the post-orgasmic bliss. So, was that good? Squidward asked nervously. SpongeBob looked at him with a gleam in his eye.
Eh. Oh yeah, Mr. Krabs, please stop talking.
Oh no, that's probably Squidward. Please stop talking.
There's still more.
But there's a page break.
No, but there's no P there. He still needs to finish.
Oh, okay, fine. Mr. Krabs was attempting to bark orders at Squidward, scolding him for reading magazines yet again while he was supposed to be working. Whatever, Squidward said aloofly, not really paying attention to him. Mr. Krabs was about to start with him again when he narrowed his eyes at Squidward.
Mr. Squidward, is that a hickey on your neck?
Yes.
Can I see it?
No.
We're going to ruin another TV show, and I'm switching it around. I'm going to start, and then we're going to go through the normal order, because I'm taking one for the team. The first page is literally just half a summary. So this is...
How's that taking one for the team? That's good for you.
Tomato potato. This is...
No.
Elaine's Slut World.
What's that?
Seinfeld.
I never watched Seinfeld.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a million years old.
Well, what's the deal with Seinfeld?
Author Zepp Letting. Summary. Elaine is at Jerry's housekeeping for him while doing a little fun, but George accidentally stops by and discover Elaine's opinions for bondage and taboo subjects. This will be mainly an Elaine solo, and the next chapter will have Elaine slash George. Rating NC-17. Pairings. No one will be romantically involved, but the following will have intercourse. Elaine will have sex with George.
No.
Jerry.
No.
Newman.
Oh, no.
Mr. Pitt, Elaine's boss.
No.
The New York Yankees.
All of them?
Abu, the foreign restaurant owner, and the list goes on. Feedback desired. Disclaimer, you all know the drill. Seinfeld is a show not created by me. Julia Lois Dreyfus plays Elaine, and I don't have anything against her.
That's good to know.
I consider her a very beautiful woman in this story. There will be many parts not suitable for children, so if you are one, please hit backspace.
Bye, Logan.
Bye, Logan.
All right. I get to leave early, I guess.
No, you have to stay. I've kept you long enough now for the story. Enjoy your reading. Chapter 1. Elaine Bennis sat on the couch belonging to Jerry Seinfeld.
Bennis.
She liked the feeling of being in her black sea trough nightgown. Underneath, she wore just a black lace bra that cupped her full bosom and a black thong, very tight, that showed great part of her round hips. And since Jerry had asked her to housekeep for a week, while he did a show in Vegas, Elaine could do whatever she wanted in his house. And there was nothing more than lying back in his sofa while watching Melrose Place reruns. Logan, it's okay. You said you're not a million years old. You also don't know what Melrose Place is.
Yeah, what's that?
Primetime soap opera on the Fox network right after Beverly Hills 90210.
What's that?
Also the same thing that I just said.
The exact same thing that he just described.
Just one took place in Florida, the other one took place in fucking California.
Beverly Hills.
No, forget what Dave said. One took place at 1 o'clock, the other took place at 1:30.
Probably.
But David is absolutely right.
It did have a lot of Heather Locklear cleavage, and that was big points back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It was the adult's version of Dawson's Creek slash Party of Five.
Yeah, he's going to ask what's that, too.
What's that?
Son of a bitch!
Dawson's Creek is the meme of the guy crying.
No, what Dawson's Creek is.
Okay.
Dawson didn't want to wait for his life to be over.
I didn't know the other one that you said. The five something.
Party of Five.
Yeah, that one.
To be fair, James Vanderbeek did become a Power Ranger, and that was pretty cool.
I forgot that. I always forget that he becomes a Power Ranger.
In Dawson's Creek?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the rerun had ended, and now she needed to look for another show to distraught her thoughts from her unfortunately single life. Sean, I'm cutting off your depression right now.
What? I was looking at Twitter.
Thank God. News, Conan. Elaine flipped...
Nice ass.
...drop the channels, not putting her mind on anything. News, baseball, news, porn, noop, porn? Oh my god. Jerry didn't tell me he had the Playboy channel, or the Sexy Hot, or this weird Dutch porn channel.
The Sexy Hot. It's like Icy Hot, but sexy.
It's just people having sex with a Dutch oven.
Oh, gross.
She was amazed. Jerry didn't seem the kind of person to watch pornographic movies. Hell, he didn't seem to watch movies at all. But there it was, a bondage movie. Elaine always felt a bit attracted to submission. Underneath that bossy appearance, she thought who it would feel to be dominated.
Man, already with left hand.
Yeah, this requires Teen Girl Squad.
Oh man, I didn't even know you could pierce that, or you could twist like that.
She thought, obviously excited. She raised the sound of the television. The screams made by the female slave were loud and raw. Dave.
Ah, yes.
By Eddie Murphy.
Raw, Coming to America.
Yeah, Raw on Monday nights.
Oh, that hasn't been good in a very long time.
Neither has the Dutch oven fucking industry.
But that seemed to have an aphrodisiac effect on Elaine.
I have got to write this semi novel. This is what will draw people's attention. Where's my diary?
Elaine jumped from couch to the kitchen table.
No, that's spelled diary. That's not dairy.
I know what it's spelled. I don't care. There she searched between books and magazines, her diary, at the same time trying to view the film. Finally laying her eyes on the little black book, Elaine took it and immediately began writing. Her eyes dangled from the diary to the television screen. Watching the acts of the sadomasochism performed by the actors, Elaine couldn't get it out of her mind. Using her left arm, she shook some hair out of her vision, scribbling her thoughts. Without realizing it, the arm started to massage her neck. Finally realizing her excitement, she finished writing and thought, "Well, I'm all alone here. I could just sit back, watch Conan."
Why is her inner thought Jerry Seinfeld?
Yours isn't?
No.
Watch Conan and eat some ice cream until I pass out. Turning her head to the screen, she swallowed her previous words. Of course, the other option is much more daring. I should have brought my dildo with me.
No, I don't want to think about it. No.
Returning to the couch, Elaine sat herself in quite a scandalous pose. Leg open, chest up.
One leg or multiple?
Yes, one leg. And looking directly to the television.
Okay, here I go.
Elaine whispered quietly. With her left hand, she started massaging her neck. Slowly, Elaine's hand drifted down to her back, then her pussy, then her crack.
Oh, no.
Caressing her left breastises, she took off her bra, throwing it to the ground, feeling the breast through the nightgown. She squeezed it gently.
It's pressed trough the nightgown.
Trough the nightgown. She squeezed it gently, removing her tit from its cover. She pulled it to her mouth, caressing herself with her tongue.
Nom, 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 nom.
Carefully, Elaine started sucking on the nipple, going blah, la 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 la, and licking it, blah, la 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 la, and covering it with her saliva, blah, la 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 la. Elaine had an idea. Already with the nipple in her mouth, she clenched her teeth, biting her nipple,
ow,
making her breast hang from her mouth. Elaine lifted her right hand as fast as thunder. She slapped her bosom. The pain ran through her body as her tit turned.
Trough.
It's always trough.
Trough her body as her tit turned.
That's not really how it works.
Biting her nipple even harder, she quickly repeated the process 7 times.
Ow, ow, oh, ow, no, ow,
don't
ow,
bite.
Ow,
one. Don't bite.
Do. Ow, 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 ow.
Number 6 wasn't that bad, but number 7, oof. She opened her mouth, making her tit fall to her chest, and a web of drool hang from her mouth to her chest.
Nice.
Enough of her supplest breasts. Supplest breasts.
Yep.
Elaine gazed her attention to the movie on TV. The master was penetrating the slave's ass. Looking to her hips, Elaine's hand traveled to her abdomen until it reached the tight thong she had on.
Mm.
Slowly pulling it down, she was graced with the vision of an arrow of her trimmed pubic hair pointing towards her cunt.
Mm. It's like the arrow saying, this is where you're renting, or this is where the bar will be.
Exactly. She always felt it was very sexy. Elaine thought, while running her fingers through her lower lips.
Trough her lower lips.
That's Elaine thought while running her fingers, trough her lower lips.
Yep.
In the lack of a dildo, Elaine used her own middle finger. Dismissing the use of a lubricant after looking for one, she placed the finger between the lips, her lips, and sucked lightly, bobbing her head up and down, like when she gave a man oral pleasure. She lubricated her finger. Removing it from her mouth, she heard the sound of the air entering her mouth at the exit of the finger. That's a really cumbersome sentence, but okay.
Everything is cumbersome about this story.
Yeah, kinda.
Well, hope there will be some coming.
Mm. Who's next?
Next up is Sean.
Finally, Elaine placed her middle finger at the entrance of her tight asshole.
Oh, no.
She quickly makes slow circles with her finger, moving it round and round at her pink entrance, relaxing herself. Gaining courage, she pushed in. Elaine felt her muscles clench at the invasion. She removed her finger, like the Yakuza, I guess, and brought it once more to her mouth, trying to wetting it a little more.
Oh no, not ass to mouth.
No. Elaine inserted the finger once more.
Much better,
she thought, starting to buck her hips and making rhythmic movements. Elaine's moans became more louder than the slave's screams. She loved her fun at Jerry's. Dling, dling. The doorbell rang. Without realizing her figure, Elaine jumped to the door. It was George. She adjusted her hair and tried to remove all her sweat from the forehead with a tissue.
Why do you have that sponge, Elaine? Well, you know, I'm just removing all my sweat.
Why is it white?
No, I can't make that joke. Sorry.
Do it.
No.
Yeah, do it.
Not happening.
Do it, coward.
Do it.
I am being a coward.
Run, coward. Elaine breathed deeply and opened the door.
Hello?
George said, strangely nervous.
Hey, George, what's up?
Elaine inquired, making herself as cheerful as she could be. The vision before George was quite a show. Elaine stood by the door in a sea trough nightgown. But that was not all. She had a black thong, which had a very low cut enough to show the world Elaine's pubic hair. But the most amazing was that her left tit was hanging outside the gown, red from bruise mark, and covered in sweat and drool.
Mm.
Not to mention the obvious no bra. Nothing much. Came here quick to pick up some books and...
There's no quick.
Came here to pick up some books and things. Can I come in? He answered, obviously stuttering.
Oh, yeah. Jerry mentioned you might drop by.
Stop.
But yeah, come on
might
in.
Might stop by.
Whatever.
She said.
Yeah.
As she got out of his way and went back to the couch.
Oh, fuck. The porn is still on.
Elaine thought as she rushed to change the channel, reaching to the remote control in the ground. What? Did it just face through? Did they have no clip on or something?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She showed George some nice view of her butt crack. He quickly turned his head as she got up and went to the kitchen table get his books.
All of this?
George said, his eyes dangling between Elaine's figure and the books. Even the little black boo?
Yes, all.
Elaine said, trying to hurry him up. Okay. George started to go to the door. So bye.
I feel like I should go through when I edit this and add in random canned audience laughter.
No.
Yeah.
There's no page break, but I'm assuming that I'm done when I pay. Oh, wait.
You're not done. Keep going.
Ah, shit. Okay.
Bye.
Elaine said, standing there, still showing herself without noticing. George stood still a few seconds, looking at her lustily. But then he turned away and closed the door. George went home, having won this day. By seeing Elaine almost naked, without her realizing. Elaine went back and continued her housekeeping, falling asleep on Jerry's sofa, still with one breast hanging out, with her legs open without her thong.
Aren't you supposed to have sex with the Yankees or something?
Yeah, later.
Yeah.
How do you end up, like, falling asleep with your legs open on the sofa? I mean, like, she's just sprawled all over on it?
Yeah.
It's really easy.
Yeah. Chapter 2 coming. Well, not soon, but one day. And I hope this encouraged people to write a Elaine fan fiction more often.
No.
Literally no one is clamoring for that.
No.
No. I have never seen one, ever. Besides this one, obviously.
We know why.
Chapter 2. George never knew why he read. I mean, I don't like reading, never did. He often taught to himself. I could barely read anything. Unless Superman or I have a toilet seat beneath me.
Next to me?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Toilet!
But tonight, when he arrived home, strangely, a little voice spoke unto his ear. Read. Read. Read.
Val, tell the doctor that the voices are back again telling me to read.
Well, you can tell the doctor.
Dismissing it for one of the million other voices in his head, George simply placed the book open. The book upon the kitchen
books
table.
Upon.
George simply placed the books upon the kitchen table and went to the bathroom.
Hello again, Mr. Toilet.
Once again, he heard this divine voice, fairy-like, squeaky and almost annoying.
Read. Read.
I don't think Chalmers likes it.
Do what you never did as a child. Read.
Nope, we're done. Thankfully, that's all the author ever wrote for that, and we're moving on.
Woohoo.
Next up is going to be Val reading the NASCAR heist by Witta Pepsi.
Oh, I can't yell. Parappa is given some serious instructions to follow. Can he follow through in time? I think it's time for me to barge in. The figure draped in the silky white cloak peeks into his transmitter. His palms are sweaty.
Knees weak.
Mom spaghetti. He doesn't know what his true goals are. He's only following what his instructor tells him. Wait for a bit, Parappa, the instructor responds. The race has only just started. Give them a little surprise. The sound of car engines can be heard from the instructor's side.
It's a really abstract rap going on here.
Yeah. Parappa checks himself underneath the white cloak. He's got his proper attire, helmet, gloves, and the most important thing. Hidden in his bag of snacks and papers is an explosive device.
Okay.
All right.
When this device goes off, it could possibly destroy a whole football field and turn it into a desert within seconds.
All right there, Bane.
Parappa has this device because his instructor gave it to him. He doesn't know what this could do. He's just following orders. Now get in the car, the transmitter rings. Get in the car, Parappa repeats. Parappa throws his cloak off and quickly takes out a key from his pocket to unlock the automobile. He opens the door, sits down, put on his seatbelt, turns on the car, and sighs deeply, waiting for an instruction.
Sigh.
He turns on the radio to the sports channel broadcasting the NASCAR race.
Two things. Number one, I believe the request is for Logan to yell all of Val's NASCARs.
Oh, God damn it.
And the other thing is I think Dave needs to go to bed.
Yeah, my arm and pills are starting to kick in.
Your army pills?
My arm and pills.
Did you get your COVID shot or something?
I did, and the pain is migrating down my arm, and it's really, really uncomfortable.
Mm.
Go to bed, sir. Good night.
Good night, everybody. I hope you have a fantastic voyage.
I hope that the COVID doesn't sneak up on you in your sleep.
Yeah, you're going to get those COVID nightmares, dude. You heard about those?
Please send me 5G.
I'm sorry, we're not allowed to export 5G to Canada.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just for the US. Them Americans chips.
All right. Could you give me another read on that line?
Yeah. He turns on the radio to the sports channel broadcasting the
NASCAR
race.
God fucking damn it. Somehow Logan is going to wake Xavier up with that yelling.
On our 20th lap, we've got Dale Earnhardt Jr. taking fifth place right now, and boy, it doesn't get more intense than this.
I mean, I could always just drive over to your house, but, you know, that gas shortage.
And start screaming NASCAR through his window.
I could be, like, way down the street. Wow. I don't have to get on your property.
I don't want you to get arrested.
Do you think they could stop me? I'll just scream NASCAR at the policemen until their heads explode.
In your head, you think you're Tetsuo from Akira, don't you?
I am Tetsuo from Akira.
Well, whatever you do, don't, like, fondle me with your weird, growy arm appendage.
You can't tell me what to do.
Don't show me how to do the SpongeBob voice by Akira-ing my throat.
Oh, come on.
3 dates before that's even possible.
Oh, there you go. Parappa smirks at the comment from the broadcast, knowing he's about to get some excitement in about 2 minutes. Step on the gas, the instructor yells. Step on the gas! Parappa peels out towards the racetrack driveway. Going from 0 to 60 in less than 5 seconds, Parappa aims his car for the conveniently placed ramp, thanks to his instructor, that will take him to the actual racetrack. Pretty much. Parappa, you have the bag, right? Yeah, I have the bag. Good, remember car number 88 is the one you need to throw the bag into. Car 88, got it. Almost 100 feet away from the ramp, Parappa looks in his rearview mirror and notices the cop's cars flashing blue and red lights. He laughs and slams the accelerator, going into the air onto the racetrack. The car squeals and rattles after landing, but Parappa ignores the fact and shifts his eyes for car number 88. Police sirens are wailing, the crowd is cheering, the cars are racing. This is truly a...
NASCAR!
Event.
Fuck, I was closing tabs!
What is this? Parappa hears on the radio. Looks like a circus act is about to commence on the racetrack this evening. Yeah. Parappa, what are you doing? 88! 88! Spotted.
Next up is Logan.
Parappa burns the rubber towards Dale Earnhardt Jr.
NASCAR!
Champion. Going 150 miles per hour and in fourth place now. Parappa has to get past the other cars. His Toyota Prius is nearly indestructible compared to the other cars. Car number 88 is two places ahead and ready to rumble. Get the bag ready, Parappa.
I got the bag ready.
The bag is already on the dashboard, waiting to be thrown into the passenger seat of car number 88. Parappa is right behind Dale Earnhardt Jr. Now he just has to get on the right side of him without getting hurt. The concrete wall is smiling at Parappa. It has seen, scraped, and hurt every car on the track. If Dale knows what's going on, then Parappa's car is going to say goodbye to its paint job. Luckily, car 88's main focus is to get to first place, so the car is trying to make sharp turns going towards the left side of the track. Parappa, this is almost too easy. Go get him.
Too easy.
Parappa swiftly gets right behind Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s racer. He quickly reaches for the bag and looks towards Dale. Since he's also wearing a helmet, Parappa doesn't know what expression is about to unfold in the driver's face. The lightweight bag makes it into car number 88's passenger window. Good job, Parappa. Now get out of this track.
Out of this track.
Parappa breaks through the wooden fence at the crowd entrance and aims towards the exit of the parking lot. He almost forgot about the police, but they were too slow to go after him. Parappa, look behind you. You're about to have a fireworks show. Parappa looks in his side view mirror of a reflection of the speedway. Count with me, Parappa. 3, 2, 1.
3, 1, 0.
At
three.
The count of zero,
three.
A big mushroom cloud
three.
Replaced the image of the speedway.
2.
You did it, Parappa.
3.
You defeated Dale Earnhardt Jr. for me. Now celebrate.
3.
Celebrate.
2.
3.
This was a weird one.
2.
0.
Why did we just blow up Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
No idea.
You were gone for 2 episodes in a row, Logan, so you get a story all to yourself. And for you peer pressuring 3. Me into it, I have picked a very special one for you. I hope that you're ready for the joy of Mitch McConnell / Reader Lemon.
Oh, okay.
By the Shame Basement. Almost the Shame Bucket.
Mitch McConnell x Steve-O Bortz Lemon.
No!
Mm-hmm, that's you.
You've made your way to Kentucky for one thing, and you won't stop until you get it.
Steve-O Bortz made your way to Kentucky for one thing.
Come
and
on.
And you won't stop until you get it.
Won't stop till you get enough.
3, 2,
NASCAR!
You came to Kentucky with one mission, and one mission only, and that mission was to get your holes wrecked by the only man who does it for you, Senator Addison Mitchell McConnell Jr. His first name is Addison?
I'm gonna go confirm this.
You walk into his office, shyly knocking on the doorframe.
That's his name.
But you shouldn't have bothered. McConnell looks up as soon
Wait,
as
he served since the year I was fucking born?
Yeah, dude.
Ugh!
It's almost like we should have term limits on senatorship.
I know, right?
I mean, I've been saying that since I was in, like, college, so...
Real revolutionary you were.
3!
2!
3!
NASCAR!
Yes, 3 NASCARs.
McConnell looks up as soon as you walk through the doorway. And puts down his Pokemon Fire Red or whatever the hell he does. Within moments, his sweaty little loafer-clad feet are shuffling across the carpet towards you. Fast enough, you get a static shock when his broad, turgid chest presses up against yours. You gasp, and he presses a finger to your lips.
Turgid!
Wait, which lips?
Yes, turgid. His hand and wrist joints crackle like a bonfire. Just like the bonfire he ignites in your heart and in your applicable orifices.
Orifices.
Orifices. Within moments,
the place where his lips should be is pressed up against your mouth.
Oh, his weird turtley beak.
And you feel like you're being tongue bathed by a turtle made entirely of skin.
Jesus Christ!
It makes you whimper. And no, you try to reach downwards to cop a feel of that top-grade Kentucky Fried dick meat. But his hand catches yours before you can make it there.
I'm going to filibuster you on this one.
He presses an attempt at a kiss to your jaw, wheezing a little in your ear as he tries to catch his breath from the short jog across his office. I don't actually know what Bitch McConnell sounds like.
He sounds like your average, like, Kentuckian.
No can do, sweetheart. I'm gonna have to give me some of what I want first.
Turn your head down as much as you can so your chin is pressing against your chest.
And now do the southern male. 3! All right, remove it by about an inch.
No can do, sweetheart. We're gonna have to give me some of what I want first.
I'm gonna have to make that sound more wrinkly in post.
I can go more wrinkly, but it's just undiscernible because I can touch my chin to my chest.
Wooly says give him Larry the Cable Guy.
Get her done.
Yeah.
You might be a redneck.
You might be a redneck.
It's red.
Oh, right, Mater. That's Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
What? You frown? Oh, no, this is normal. What? You frown, confusion marring your face. His droopy mouth flaps stretch into a grin.
Let me see that succulent ash.
You turn around obediently and tug your pants down, and Mitch makes sort of a gurgling noise, which you assume is a good thing. Before you know it, his weird little hand comes down hard against your skin, and you squeak as he gropes over the rising flushed mark he's made.
You look so good in Republican red, darling.
I'm never getting hard again.
He breathes in your ear. He doesn't give you time to reply before he takes you by the hips and presses his old man wiener against your butt. And you bite your lip and whisper,
Rosebud,
trying to coax him into going further. He obliges you. The sound of fabric shifting fills the air as he starts to untuck
his
shirt.
Whoa.
Yes?
Okay.
Then he changes his mind and starts trying to unbutton his pants. Several seconds pass. You ask him if he needs help, but he shakes his head vigorously, which makes a sound as his jowls slap together, and keeps trying.
Oh, it's just Nixon.
Eventually, he managed to get his dick out, and you arch your back invitingly. He pushes right in, and you groan as you're filled with hot, red-blooded conservative pork sausage.
I'm never eating pork again, either.
It's almost too much. There's clearly a reason why the Republican mascot is an elephant.
Why did I give this to you?
You cry, voice high and breathy as he rails you. It's so nondescript it makes your knees tremble. The man does not know how to wield a dick at all, and that's just how you like it.
It's going inside the crease between your leg and your groin.
His creaky body tenses and relaxes behind you as he thrusts. He looks like a grandpa doing the Macarena.
Oh, come!
Before long, you find yourself reaching a mediocre orgasm. Mitch follows suit about a minute later. It takes longer for the sensation to travel to his brain. What with all the excess skin in the way? You sigh as you feel his creamy seed drip down your thighs.
No!
You've gotten what you came for. You step away, pulling up your pants, and turn around just in time to see Senator Mitch McConnell being vaporized into a fine red mist with a single punch from a woman with a pockmarked face and an incredibly cool fur-collared dress. She gives you a wide grin, wiping off her hand on her skirt. Who the fuck is this? Funny little man. Even funnier now that his atoms are disassembled. Not so pro-life now. Ha ha. I tell a little joke. Then she clips through the ceiling and disappears, and you sit down at the desk to take your rightful place as Kentucky senator.
Wow. That was a trip.
I'm very tempted to yell three again, but I feel like I'm going to start getting nightmares about Donald Duck and Math Magic Land if I do.
Hey, that's a good movie.
It is a fantastic movie. I don't want to get nightmares about it. That's the thing. But thank you. That was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Some segue into how our patrons are lovely, especially our genital guardians. A Skylander starter kit that's been sitting on a dollar store shelf since 2019. Angel Bane, Chirpy, Disambiguity, Discuss, Dizdon Plays, Epidel, Grass Dragon, Richard Pryor, Santa Grimnar, the 6.8 people in Bunker, Missouri, clamoring for Elaine Bennett's erotic fanfic.
Hell yeah.
The judge, the jury, and the exegutter, two-time world heavyweight champion Matthew J., and a super special thanks to our Bulgay beneficiaries, Advent Dawn, Dump Truck Treg Borschwitz, Evan Bowmel, Miri, Razor Flood, Terez, This Joke, Aunt May's OnlyFans, This Episode 2 weeks ago, Highlander 2, Mrs. Brisby, and Kogel Hot Dogs RS tier, fight me. I feel like I should go through that again, but it won't have any point. Wage and William Taft's bathwater. Somehow not nearly as gross as the political fanfiction that we ended the show on tonight. Val, please go get the coffin ready. I'm not sleeping in the bed. I have to rejuvenate.
Oh, I got rid of it. I'm sorry.
Fuck.